Non nobis Domine, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name be the glory. Psalm 115 and verse 1. This book, published by the Most Reverend Philip Weeks, is the story and theology of the Charismatic Episcopal Church. And as we go through this five-part series, it is an introduction to all of that. And at the end of it, anyone who's not a member of the CEC and would like to do that, you can certainly consider this your membership class. And you can be brought into membership into the church. Those of you that already are members of the church, this is a fantastic read and refresher course. It's great stuff. And if you're just interested, that's wonderful too, because it is a fantastic story that we're going to embrace. Of the five messages, this beginning one is probably the least spiritual of the messages. It's more of the history and how we got here. And then when we actually get into the subsequent ones, it will be more about belief and practice in the evangelical stream of the church, believing that the Bible is the Holy Word of God. In the sacramental stream of the church, in that we have our liturgy in Holy Eucharist, baptism, the sacraments of the church. And then, of course, in the Pentecostal charismatic stream, that we believe the Spirit of God is working within us today and fills us and empowers us for ministry. So let's kick this off a little bit with part of a history lesson. Those of you that, most of you that are members have this book, and we're going through the first chapter today, which is pages 1 through 46. I encourage you to take a look at that. And again, as we go through the series, our website was updated and you can see exactly what section we're going through next. It's roughly 45 pages at a time. So anyway, so you can follow along if you've read it. If you haven't, you don't need to have read it to get all of this. Here we go. In 1977 in Chicago, a group of evangelical and Pentecostal pastors met to discuss a call they had been receiving from God. And that call was to discover the roots of the early historic Christian church. As evangelical and Pentecostal pastors, they were rooted in the Word of God and in the working of the Holy Spirit. And they were called by God to look back at the very beginnings, the first century church, and in so doing, the convergence movement began. It was the bringing together of all of these elements of the Christian church. That was way back in 1977. In the early 1980s, they kind of formalized this call more to try to figure out what God was saying, and they began to study specifically the liturgy and the sacraments of the church, the earliest forms of worship. Well, two of those men, Randolph Adler and Joseph Motes, were told by God that they were going to begin a new work. Randolph Adler was a charismatic street preacher in Orlando, Florida. He then moved to San Clemente, California, where he joined the pro-life movement, the anti-abortion movement, and he was arrested at a pro-life rally. Some of you heard this story before. It's really a fantastic story. Adler is arrested and he's in jail. And as that story's told, he's there with his Protestant, Pentecostal Christian brothers and sisters, and they're in jail and they're not dealing with this well. They're having a tough time. Why did God do this to us? How could we be in jail? Why are we being persecuted? And they're kind of losing it as they're in jail. But they look over, and the ones who are calm, cool, collected, and simply sitting, praying, and singing are the Roman Catholics. And they looked at them and they said, why aren't they upset? And it was then that Adler and Motes began a true seeking of liturgy and sacrament, that which they had studied for many years but didn't actually put into practice. And when they saw it living and breathing before them, they realized exactly what it was and what God was calling them to. So, having studied liturgy and sacraments for many years, they knew that they could not establish a church without the sacrament of ordination, bishops, priests, and deacons. Remember, God's telling these guys, you're going to start a new work. So they were ordained as bishops in 1992. Adler was consecrated by Bishop Timothy Michael Barker of the International Free Catholic Communion and Bishop William Millsaps of the Anglican Province of South Africa. And we read that and we say, so what? God blesses them, though. We'll get back to that point in a second. But God blesses them. Adler and Motes consecrated in 1992. They asked God for 10 congregations for their new work. God, if you're calling us to this new work, give us 10 congregations by the year 2000. That's 8 years to establish 10 congregations. In the year 2000, there were more than 500 congregations in the CEC worldwide. And today, there are more than 1,100 in 32 countries. And that's because the same message that Adler and Motes heard was being heard by people all over the world. For example, Lauren Thomas Hines, the current CEC Bishop of the Philippines, was himself an evangelical Pentecostal preacher being drawn to sacraments and liturgy. And if you come from that world, one of the strangest things is to be drawn to a Catholic world. Because for so long you've thought, that's not what God wants. And yet it was what God wanted. And so men like Lauren Hines were brought in at the same time, hearing the same message in the Philippines that Adler was hearing in California. Well, remember those bishops we talked about? We talked about, let's read those names again, Timothy Michael Barker and William Millsaps. And I said, so what? It's because we have in the Charismatic Episcopal Church a doctrine, a belief in apostolic succession. And apostolic succession is this, the laying on of hands from one person to the next, creating a line of connection which can be traced and verified. So, I lay hands on Nathaniel, and then I lay hands on Stephen, and I lay hands on Ellen, and I lay hands on Father Harry, and what that does is that connects Father Harry forever to Nathaniel. See how that works? Connected forever to Nathaniel through me. That's what apostolic succession means. And apostolic succession in the Charismatic Episcopal Church can be traced back to James the Less, who is the first bishop of Jerusalem. And what that means is that our bishop, if this were Bishop Michael, our bishop got ordained, consecrated as a bishop by someone who had been consecrated as a bishop by someone else, who had been consecrated by someone else, who had been consecrated by someone else, and those someone else's go all the way back to the first century church and go back to the time of Jesus and the time of James. Well, just to be on the safe side, years later, 5 CEC bishops would be consecrated again, if you will. They had a ceremony in the National Catholic Church of Brazil to strengthen and secure apostolic succession in the CEC. So if there was ever any question, it was eliminated forever. That line of bishops from our bishop goes all the way back to James of Jerusalem, to the first century church. So why is it important? It's important because it brings us a connection with the ancient and historic church. It takes us right back to the time of Jesus, where we make a commitment that in this line of succession, we will do, believe, and teach the same as they did in the first century church. That we are guardians of the faith and the church that is passed to us by Jesus. And that the empowering of the Holy Spirit is given to ministers of the church. It's important because it connects us with something so much bigger and greater than ourselves. I don't stand here as a priest in apostolic succession. I don't stand here telling you something that is off the top of my head or just something that I believe. But it is what the church has believed and believes from that point to this point. And indeed, you as the congregation, you have the right to expect that what you hear from your ordained ministers is the teaching of the church and not just my opinion. See, me being ordained in apostolic succession, my bishop putting his hands on me, then takes me all the way back to James of Jerusalem in that line of people. And it's been said, when I place this stole, this yoke of Christ around my shoulders, that I cease to be who I am, but I become 2,500 years old. And I feel like it sometimes. But that's why a young man can stand before you that's ordained perhaps, you know, as I was at 29, 30 years old, can stand and offer, you know, by the sacrament and the grace of God, the teaching of the church, is because that stole binds and unites us as the yoke of Christ. Well, the CEC, as you get by that story from Bishop Adler, it's not something that came from somewhere else, really. It came from a lot of different places that put together to make it new. But it's not a splinter group that broke off from something else. It's not a schismatic church where an existing church had a fight and then went its separate ways and started this one over here and that one over there. Didn't happen that way. Men from traditions like Adler, Pentecostal, charismatic, and then sacramental Christians that discovered the power of the Holy Spirit, they all came together from all kinds of different places and formed this charismatic Episcopal church. And interestingly, if you look on Wikipedia, we are the only official church body known today that has the word charismatic officially in its name. We're a unique movement. And we use the word Episcopal because Episcopal means bishop in Greek. We are governed by bishops. The bishops are the bosses. My boss is the bishop. But what makes us unique, because lots of churches have bishops, lots of denominations have bishops, what makes us unique in the charismatic Episcopal church is that we are governed by bishops and we are governed by Holy Spirit consensus government. And what that is simple. Lots of churches in different denominations have different ways of governing, and they're just different, okay? We don't have votes. We don't have ballots and run for elections and things like that. Holy Spirit consensus government is just that. It's a church led by the Holy Spirit. We come together as a church and we pray, and we discern where God is calling us, what God is calling us to do and be. And it starts with our bishops and goes all the way down to the smallest of missions, that this is how the church works. The clergy come together as a council and we pray about issues and we ask God to direct and lead and guide us. And we don't have a 4-3 vote. That's not Holy Spirit consensus. That's not God telling us, you're going to do this. If three people think one thing and four people think something opposite. But consensus government is that we are led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to use votes and things. You know, there are official laws out there, you know, the laws of the land where we have to do those kinds of things. You know, financial issues or whatever, we have to have official things on the books, and we still do that. But for the major things governing our church, from the head of the international church and the worldwide bishops down to the smallest mission, we use this consensus government. What is God saying to us? And how do we respond? And that's how the church is governed. And it's a good way to do things. It's not cut and dried. But it's a good way to do things. And the CEC is rooted in that pro-life theology that all life is sacred from conception to natural death. That's where this started. That's where it came together and gelled, where Adler and Motes and others, our own Bishop Michael Davidson, sitting in jail. Bishop Mike's been arrested. Did you know that? Sitting in jail and looking at the sacramental stability of the church and realizing they wanted that. And they brought that to this church, unashamedly rooted in pro-life theology and convergence worship, bringing all of those things together for a place to stand, to run. That's one of our own Bishop Mike's favorite phrases. We stand together as a church, and when we do that, it's going to take off. That's why we call this our place to stand, to run. And it's all answering, all in answer to the call that God placed on the lives of a group of men. And we sit here in this place today because they answered that call faithfully. And they discerned it. Remember, this goes back to 1977. And it wasn't until 1992 that they actually formalized anything. As they answered this call that God had given them, they had to figure it out, and they did. And God has blessed it, and it's taken off. You know, from 1992 until today is relatively young in the life of the church. But to have been around for 20 years and still going, God has a plan for us. God has a plan for each one of you. He has a plan for us together as we bring this forward in the church. We'll end with this today. Some of you have seen this before and seen this teaching before, but this is the logo of the Charismatic Episcopal Church in the USA. You've seen it on our newsletter, on the letterhead. It's on the refrigerator magnet, many of you have. It's just kind of all over. And it is a recognizable mark of who we are. And so there's the logo. But do you know what it means? It means Charismatic Episcopal Church. You can see the CEC there. So there it is. That's the way you'll see it on things. You flip it on its side, Charismatic Episcopal Church. But each one of those letters means something. The top letter is a chalice of wine. It represents the sacramental commitment that we have in Holy Eucharist, in baptism, and in the other sacraments. The middle E has a book there, pages of a book on an altar, the evangelical stream, that the Bible is the holy word of God. And the bottom is the fire of the Holy Spirit, but notice that it's contained. Fire that's uncontained is destructive and life-threatening. Fire contained is good and useful. And the charismatic stream is guided by the evangelical and the sacramental, just as the sacramental is guided by the charismatic and the evangelical and so forth. So that's what that means, and that's why you see it all over the place. when we come together next time, we will talk about convergence worship and how all of these things fit together in sometimes a messy and chaotic way. But it's called the three streams of Christianity. And what's happened when streams of water all meet? What happens in that spot? The water's constantly moving and churning, and it's chaos. But that's a good thing for us. So when we come together next time, we'll talk about convergence worship and how all of that happens. So we give thanks today that all of those years ago, our first patriarch and first bishop of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, Most Reverend Randolph Adler, we give thanks that he heard the call from God, that he discerned it, that he answered it and was faithful to it. We pray that as God calls each of us to mission and ministry in this life and in this church, that we will have the courage, the discernment, and the joy that comes with answering that call. In the holy and precious name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.